Hello, everyone around the world. Welcome. Bienvenidos, que calo sirvete, to Coloring My Way Across the Globe. I'm your host, Lauren Battistini, color consultant, artist, language learner, and world traveler. Join me each week as I chronicle the most colorful people, places, and experiences I encounter off the beaten path, both near and far. So, let's go. Vámonos, que pame. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the next episode of Coloring My Way Across the Globe. I'm your host, Lauren Battistini, and I'm here in the studio today in Houston, Texas, and I'm very delighted to be joined through Zoom, through a remote call, by this beautiful guest I have today. This is Danielle Hu of the Wander Lover. I'd like to just introduce her briefly before we give her the floor, so to speak. Danielle was born in Beijing, China, came to the United States at age 2, was raised in New York, had what she thought was the corporate dream, working in finance on Wall Street. And she went to, I think, Cornell, and also just really thought that this was the life that she wanted. Everything, she had checked off all these things from her boxes of what she thought she wanted, and then just realized that this was not ultimately her dream. And so she pivoted and decided to pursue the entrepreneurial path and is now a travel influencer, a digital nomad, which we'll talk about today. She is a surfer. She's a world traveler. She's very accomplished, multilingual, multicultural, and is also a newlywed. And we'll talk about that too today. So I want to welcome to the podcast today, Danielle Hu. Danielle, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. And thanks for that introduction.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to tell the guests exactly how we met, which was in the way that I meet a lot of people nowadays, which is through Instagram. I initially followed you in Instagram on your Wander Lover account. And I believe that I purchased an e-product from you. It was the travel handbook, I believe. Again, we'll talk about that in a bit. But where I really want to begin the conversation is to ask you about what made you ultimately decide to go from this corporate finance life on Wall Street to becoming a digital nomad, and what was really the straw that, you know, broke the let's say corporate camel's back?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the main thing that I recognized in myself was that I wanted more. And I don't know how to explain that feeling, but a lot of my clients have felt it at one point or another, just knowing that a path you've chosen isn't for you. It's not lighting you up. Looking at people a few steps ahead of you and not admiring where they are and not wanting to go there. And this deep desire of another lifestyle. So for me, it was seeing other people working on their laptops from beaches in Bali, traveling the world full time and not having to live for 15 vacation days a year. And that I listened to, and I started exploring other alternatives. I also honored that, you know, this life that I wanted, people around me weren't going to understand. So choosing who I listened to. And I set a quit date for myself. I knew that's when I wanted to get out. I knew I had to build my business by then, learn from people before then. And when that date came, I think that's when I just made a run for it.
You know, just a side question too. I saw this on your profile that when you were working in corporate finance, you had a whole different Myers-Briggs personality assessment. At that point, you were like a director. And then now you're this, what is it, ENFJ, an idealist? You've just totally shifted, right?
Yeah, I went like complete 180. I think the one thing that really stuck was still just being extroverted and getting my energy from other people. But things like, you know, having to have your life all figured out, having like a 30-year plan for yourself and like which position you want to be in 2 or 5 years, you know, what kind of promotion you want. That's very corporate minded. Same thing with making decisions based on your thoughts rather than feelings. I think shut down the emotional side of me because you really had to act a certain way amongst a male dominated industry, right? So once I left that environment, I feel like I fully was able to express who I was without having to conform to a certain type of environment or persona. And so it was just really interesting also noticing how even things like Myers-Briggs has shifted.
Yeah, I think I find that fascinating. It's one of the first things I noticed on your email, excuse me, your introductory on your website. So speaking of location, so you are now what you call location independent, and you are a digital nomad. You have a society called Digital Nomad Society, of which I'm a part. And I'd love for you to explain to the listeners what this means and why it is not just for travel influencers and people, wanting to travel the world. Location independence and digital nomad can be for anyone, even me. I'm in Houston and I consider myself to be kind of a digital nomad. I don't need to live around the world, but I want this location independence. So talk to us about what digital nomad and location independence really mean.
Yeah, for sure. So with technology and the internet and how everything has just evolved, it's become so possible for people from all different industries to create an online presence and move at least a part of their business online. And having an online business enables you to work from anywhere. So through all of my programs, I teach this concept of location independence where you're not working for an employer, you have your own streams of income, you're not confined to a certain number of vacation days a year. You really can run your business and make money from wherever there's a Wi-Fi connection. And this applies, not only to travel influencers, but to fitness coaches, to therapists, to artists. And as long as you can kind of adopt this online business model where you're either offering one-on-one services, group programs, online courses, digital products, memberships, right? We can create something that will enable you to work and impact individuals from around the world, not only in your vicinity, like your location vicinity, but truly take your brand and business global. And not only, can you impact more people, you can also live a freer lifestyle. And that's what I've found to be true. I've been traveling and doing this for the past 7 years since I've quit. And I really have never thought about going back. There's really no looking back.
Of course, you've never looked back. I see all these awesome photos of you and this footage of you out there surfing or, working on your laptop in your swim gear, from some exotic location where you can take off and surf in the afternoon. So I want to take a moment here, though, for my listeners to understand that though you are seen in the travel influencer space, you really do so much with business coaching. And in fact, the way I connected with you after I bought that ebook, I'm a member of your Digital Nomad Society, but I've also become a member of your Business Academy, and I consider you to be, for me, an advisor and a mentor. So would you speak to us a little bit about the programs that you offer and how this is, it's, yeah, travel influencing is a piece of it, and some of your clients are travel influencers, but you're doing business advising here. Talk to us about your programs, please.
You're listening to Coloring My Way Across the Globe with Lauren Battistini. For more information, check out lfbcolor.com.
Yeah, definitely. So with becoming a travel influencer, your main source of income is brand collaborations. And what I've found is it's still kind of limiting in terms of where you can work. They have to be in a certain location. You have to get products shipped to you. You have to wait for them to pay you. And it's just not as scalable because it is tied to your time. And I learned this after the pandemic, where I wasn't able to travel. I wasn't able to visit all of those hotels or fly anywhere. But my online income streams from the digital products, from the coaching, from the courses, that still thrived and it actually took off. And that's what I want all of my clients, not only influencers, to recognize is that you're not confined to just one source of income. Once you create a brand for yourself, you really can expand in as many directions as you want. So I started off with travel influencing. I still do that. We just stayed at a beautiful 5-star palace in Spain and worked with them. Yeah, it was incredible. And I love that side of my business. But we also have the Digital Nomad Society. It's a monthly membership where people just learn the ins and outs of this lifestyle. Because at least for me, when I was in corporate, I had no idea what being a digital nomad even looked like. I didn't know it was possible. But through this community, you see people who are just a few steps ahead of you, just starting out. And then they embark on this life and you realize, like, hey, if they can do it, I can too. Then we have the Business Academy. So that is a very business tech heavy course where we build your online presence, we get your website up, your email list, your marketing, your offers. And that is really the core of what it takes to monetize and make it sustainable. And I feel like once all of these pieces are put together, you really have the more than just the foundations to take it to the next level. And that's when we introduce, you know, the Momentum Mastermind, where you work together with other entrepreneurs aspiring to hit six figures and multiple six figures. And then I take on a few private coaching clients.
I love this. So you have multiple streams of income, as you've discussed, and you also have multiple ways for people to connect with you, to work with you, and at different levels. Like I said a minute ago, I'm a part of your Digital Nomad Society. I've also signed up for your Business Academy. And I want to segue over to the Digital Nomad Society for a moment. There's an online Facebook group. And if I think, as a participant in this, it seems like this is an opportunity for me to be able to speak with like-minded people, people who, instead of discouraging and squashing my dreams, will encourage them, help me brainstorm and live out these dreams that I have, this non-traditional work lifestyle. And so to me, that's one of the great benefits of the Digital Nomad Society. And you and I, in a couple of our conversations, Danielle, had talked about how our closest relatives, our loved ones, and well-intentioned friends do not necessarily understand this, again, alternative lifestyle that's not the corporate 9-to-5. So I've even heard you talk about how people thought you were a little nuts when you left corporate America and took off to, you know, go to foreign lands and surf and work and create digital products out of thin air. My question here is, how did you at this time summon the strength that you needed to make the move, stick to your vision, stick to your decision, believe in yourself, and persevere? How did you summon the strength to do this?
So the first thing that I recommend to all of my clients and members of my community is be really specific of who you talk to and who you listen to. And so I recognized this early on, where I was getting a lot of pushback from my peers in finance. But then I realized, if we had the same outlook on life and the same mentality, they wouldn't be working in finance. You know, like, I don't want to be where they are. So I only took what they said with a grain of salt. Same with my parents. They have corporate jobs, and I just knew I didn't want to follow on their path. And so I shouldn't be listening to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas I found my mentors who had location independent businesses, who were travel influencers, and everything that they said, everything they believed, I took to heart. Yeah. As well as finding my community of like-minded individuals. So when I started on this path, I thought I was being really brave and bold, and I moved to Bali for a year. And I met so many other people around the world who also moved to Bali, you know? And so,
yeah, you found your community there.
Yeah, the thing that set you apart, you're like, oh my gosh, these are the people who no longer follow this corporate lifestyle, who no longer subscribe to that ideology, building their online businesses. And once I opened myself up to that, I found more and more hubs and communities, surfing digital nomad communities around.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. Once you live out this lifestyle, you truly attract the people who align with you. And I think that's also what's so beautiful about online communities like the Digital Nomad Society. Everyone in there, we see you, we get you, right? So it's not necessarily even having to be somewhere. It's just finding your community, but first believing that they're out there for you.
Well, and I think you made an intentional decision to surround yourself with like-minded people, and you did have to tune out people. And God bless our parents, right? God bless our parents and our family members and friends. They mean well, but they don't understand our vision. Therefore, we have to limit their access to a lot of talk about what we're doing professionally. And we kind of have to, again, surround ourselves with like-minded people. So I always ask my guests this, and I really carefully select my guests because I make sure that you all are very interesting, colorful people. And, you know, I specialize in color as a professional architectural color consultant and an artist. So what do you do to live out a colorful life? And what does a colorful life mean to you?
I love that question. Personally, I really think doing the things, taking action, thinking the thoughts that light you up, and surrounding yourself with the people that help you shine the brightest and most colorfully. So it's truly just getting rid of what no longer serves you, being your true self and not trying to be someone you're not, not trying to conform, and just really listening to your intuition. I know I mentioned this in the beginning of the episode, when I knew something wasn't right for me, honor that, right? And go explore things that light you up, that are right for you. I feel like so many people get really bogged down by thoughts like, I worked my entire life for this, you know, I can't just throw it away. Or they stay in unhealthy relationships and they stay in just unhealthy, toxic environments or situations. Mm-hmm. Getting away from that, putting yourself first and truly doing the things that light you up, designing your entire day 24/7 to things that light you up. I think that will help you shine the brightest, live the most colorfully, and just be the best version of yourself.
Thank you for that answer. And also, this is a perfect transition. Speaking of lighting you up, let's talk love for a minute. We'll get a little bit personal here, not too personal, but I want to congratulate you on your recent nuptials. And you've only been married for, I think, what, a month or so now? Is this right?
2 months. Yes.
Okay. 2 months. My bad. 2 months. So here's my question though. You knew, similar to your entrepreneurial values and your goals, you also knew that in your personal life, you just weren't going to settle for anybody, and that whoever you wound up with, the love of your life, needed to have this nomadic lifestyle, travel lifestyle, surfing. And so tell us about the non-negotiables you had on relationships and how this, it really was just a casual first date you guys had, and how it evolved into now marriage. I want to hear a little bit of your story.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So it's funny because when I started traveling full time, my mom actually sat me down and she was like, if you want to meet someone, you need to be in one place. When are you going to stop? And I just knew, I bit back and I was like, I'm going to find someone that will travel the world with me. And this is, you know, me and my mom, I love her to death, but
our
relationship has always been her being really safe and me like rebelling. But yeah, after that, I ended up making a list. I sat down, pen to paper, and wrote down every single one of my non-negotiables for my future partner. So it was, they had to be location independent. They had to love surfing. They had to be caring. They had to, it's funny because I also said that they not had to be, but I preferred if they were international. And so my husband is British. So yes, it was very, very specific. And I just was able after that moment to filter out people coming into my life, and I could instantly know if they were right for me or not. Yeah. Right. If they were in one place, I immediately recognized that this is only going to not bring me down, but have me and be location dependent or back to where I was. So having this filter system, not only for relationships, but for many things in life, knowing what makes you happy and then really honoring that, that's how I was able to kind of manifest Rags, my husband.
Mm-hmm. I love that name, Rags. I love his name too. He sounds like someone you would be with. And I, you know, not even seeing a picture of him, I'd say, yeah, that sounds like you would be your husband, a Rags.
Yeah, his full name is Raglan, but everyone calls him Rags with a Z. And he is,
of course, because he's a surfer. So he's got to have a cool name.
Yeah. Yeah, he's amazing. And I'm just so thankful again and again that I put myself first and the universe delivered exactly what I needed, because I was really, really specific about it. Mm-hmm. And then I went out there to kind of get what I want, right? And that's another thing. I have a podcast episode about this, where if you are deciding that you want to be in a relationship, don't just like hope and stay in your room that they show up, right? Like I went on dates. We matched on Tinder. So that was like the, how it started.
I'm sorry, but I have to laugh at that. And okay, a little bit of personal information on my side. I've been divorced now 5.5 years, amicably divorced. My ex-husband's a great guy. I just couldn't make it work. And I, you know, didn't date at all for a few years. And I said, I want a man, you know, I would like to date. I'd like to have a man in my life. And then I have frequented some of these sites occasionally, and they run the gamut of what you'll find. It's, it can be a really wild place. But you have to go through the rigors of this in this day and age, I think, in order to meet new people. So Tinder it is, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely a tool, right? It just connects you. And especially when you're traveling too, I think the success rate of meeting people within those communities of also like other travelers and people who run online businesses, it's easier rather than, you know, staying in a place that isn't right for you. Like I was on Tinder in New York City and it wasn't the best. And I knew that if I was dating someone that like worked in New York City, I would be in New York City, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I think being in an environment and community, that's the first thing. And then putting yourself out there, meeting other people is the logical next step.
You are listening to Coloring My Way Across the Globe. Stories of the most colorful people, places, and experiences off the beaten path, both near and far. As hosted by myself, Lauren Battistini. Each week, I'll be interviewing color professionals, artists, world travelers, language learning experts, digital nomads, other entrepreneurs, creative professionals, visionaries. There's something here for everyone interested in the world around them. Keep listening. There's more to follow. Yep. Well, you know, this podcast, I've designed it to be where it's essentially the people I have on as guests are people I consider to be, I admire and respect very much, you included, of course, and who also wind up becoming my friends. And here's I want to tell my listeners about this. Here's how I knew that you would actually be my friend and not just a business advisor, not just someone from whom I purchased the product. You know, after I purchased that, it was that e-product, the How to Be a Travel Influencer from you. You followed up with me with an email and said, "Hi, Lauren, I'd like to connect with you and see if there's any way that I can help you. Could we schedule a Zoom call?" And at first, honestly, I thought that it was going to be a paid type of thing. And I asked you what the fee was. And you said, "There is no fee. This is just my attempt to connect with you and find out what you might need." And sure enough, you followed through. We had a phone call, a video call, actually. And you really weren't asking me for anything. You really were trying to serve and listen and help me on my professional, you know, trajectory. And that's something that I really appreciated about you and about your business model. And so I do consider you to be a mentor and a new friend, and your opinion matters to me. So I always like to try to educate my audience a little bit too. So is there any advice that you have for me, you know, as I build both my art business and my travel content creation business and my podcast? What advice do you have that you think would be helpful to me, but also to my listeners? I've got a lot of people who are forging their own creative paths. So what advice would you give me?
I think not only to you, but everyone listening, keeping in mind that online offers will enable this location independence. So as you build out your businesses, think of the digital offerings, think of the digital products. I know you're a brilliant artist and you have so much experience in the color space. All of that is transferable, right? And if we kind of just apply this online business model of maybe one-on-one consulting for color online, or having an ebook on color, or having digital prints, right? Applying this scalable online business model to the things that you are already an expert at, that you're passionate about, that is really going to be the key in scaling and bringing in that online income. Yeah. I think another misconception that I just want to put out there is people think that they have to be in the travel space in order to travel. And that's just not the case. I see with many of my clients, they've spent years and decades and their entire like careers perfecting and learning about one industry, and they feel like they need to become travel influencers. And in that case, it's just not the best next step, because you're essentially starting from scratch, right? If we can integrate and bring online what you're already seen as an expert at, you're going to make money so much faster. You're going to be able to help people so much faster. And so, yeah, just making sure that the business you start is the most aligned to what you do, and also incorporating the online aspect.
Yep. And this circles back to what we talked in the beginning about how being this digital nomad does not signify that you have to be a travel influencer. What it really means, and what you preach a lot, is to me, it's monetize what you're already good at. In my case, it would be color consulting, my color knowledge, some of my art. And those are the things I'm building right now. But it doesn't mean I have to be a travel influencer.
Exactly.
Now, do I want to travel? Of course I want to travel, but my reason for being location independent has to do with the fact that I'm a mom of three. I love my kids. They're basically grown, but I want to be able to work from wherever they are and go visit them and travel wherever I feel like it. I have a little brother who lives in Prague. I was in Portugal earlier this year. I just came back from 5 weeks in Greece.
Oh,
So,
yeah.
these things, I want to be able to have this independence and explore the creativity. So I really do appreciate all of your insights. I want to end with one more question, and it does pertain to color and travel because you are a world traveler. Can you name for me one of the most colorful places you visited and why it was so colorful? Just, I'm curious.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. So the first place that came to mind was off of Venice. There's this little place called Burano. I don't know if you've visited. But they
Spell
have
it for us. Verano,
Burano.
you said?
Yeah, Burano.
Burano. Okay.
And the most colorful houses right by the water. It's like Venice, but with like colorful houses dotting along like every side.
Yep.
And yeah, that's the first place that popped into mind. Literally, it's just so colorful and it's so beautiful. And I think that is the place that you'll go to and you just won't be sad. Be
I
thankful
won't be
and
sad.
all the memories are happy.
I love that. Okay, last question. Do you have a favorite happy color? What's your favorite happy color?
Ooh, my happy colors change. Funnily enough, like based on the seasons that I'm in, I kind of
Okay.
like assign colors to each chapter of my life. It's really interesting, but only recently did I realize that everything I've been buying have been green. And I think I'm shifting from yellow. It was all yellow like earlier this year. And very recently, now it's green, and green is the color that's making me really, really happy. It was red before that. So I have, yeah, different colors that make me happy through each chapter. I think the chapter I'm entering in now is slower, but super abundant, luxurious. And that is what I am channeling. And that is the
And
color.
and it's I'm happy you mentioned green because that is the top specified color. When I do architectural color consulting, and a lot of it's for residential spaces, I always tell my clients, you almost cannot go wrong with shades of green in your home, if it's a moss green or even a Kelly green, because we have a physiological response to the color green. It reminds us of nature. It literally calms us down. It is considered to be a color that's evocative of peace, wholeness, nature, obviously. And it is just a grounding color. And I think I try to incorporate it in as many color palettes as I can when I'm doing architectural color. And I'd say it's one of my foundational colors personally, too, part of my logo and my branding. I'm glad to hear you mention yellow, excuse me, green and yellow. Man, yellow is a happy color. That reminds me of childhood, right? It's just a sunshiny color. I love it. I love it. Well, Danielle, I want to thank you for joining. I know that you and your husband are now have been in spending some time in Spain. Yes, Spain. How's that going for you?
So we actually just flew back to New York. So we're in New York, but we spent a month or a little over a month in Galicia in Spain. It was amazing. And yeah, now it's just time for the holidays and spending time with family and friends.
Very good. So you're not going back to Spain. Your next des you have a different destination after the holidays?
Yeah, so I think next year is going to look like Mexico for a wedding, then back to England for a wedding, then we're thinking of going to Indonesia again, but nothing is set in stone yet.
I love this. Well, tell my audience how they can follow you on social media, please.
Sure. So my Instagram is at the Wander Lover. You can DM me at any time. My DMs are always open. Or you can check out thewanderlover.com and the Wander Lover podcast on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And it is indeed a wonderful podcast. And I find, again, you to be so gracious with your time and so loving toward your audience, and it's really easy to become friends with you. So, Danielle, thank you. Thank you for your friendship, your mentorship, and thank you for your time today, being with me and my listeners for the Coloring My Way Across the Globe podcast.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much for having me. This is a lovely conversation.
You are so welcome, and I appreciate you. And I wish you all the most colorful 2024, and I know we'll be in touch.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, listeners, be sure to check out Danielle, who's a website, her podcast, and her social media. And I will include this in the comment section in the description, actually, of this episode. Until next time, stay colorful. Bye, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Coloring My Way Across the Globe. I hope that you've enjoyed the conversation, and we would love to stay connected with you throughout the week. The best way to connect is by subscribing to our newsletter at www.lfbcolor.com. That's www.lfbcolor.com. Also, you may find us on Instagram using the same handle, lfbcolor, for the latest stories, podcast guest profiles, travel photography, language learning diaries, and my own colorful art. Hope to see you there, friends. Thank you again.